Welcome to Frank on Target, your gateway to the world of politics, controversy, and the great outdoors. Join us as we dive into the heart of today's most pressing issues, explore the latest headlines, and uncover the wonders of nature, all under the enlightened guidance of our host, Frank Santarella.
And this is Frank on Target, and we're talking to Scott Catterson. Let me just throw out the legal stuff here. This is WVFF 97.7 LPFM, Red Brick Patriot Radio, broadcasting from Cottageville, South Carolina. And like I said, I'm sitting here with Scott Catterson. Scott has been running back and forth to North Carolina, doing volunteer work up there, revolving around the catastrophe they had up there with the Hurricane Helene. And say hello, Scott, and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Glad to be here. My name is Scott Catterson. I'm a retired firefighter EMT of 30 years, and I'm also a Navy vet. I started going up and looking for an opportunity to help with the hurricane that hit Western North Carolina. And after searching through a couple of groups, I found one to go with, and I went up there for a week last week with a Baptist on a mission. And I got to identify the needs that were happening up there and some of the towns that were not receiving help immediately. So I've started making my own runs and going through some of the churches up there to identify areas that need help.
Well, that's a good thing, Scott. And I think everybody's really got to get together here and pull together because, you know, Ronald Reagan said, how did it go, Dave? The three most deceiving words, or the seven most deceiving words, is I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. These poor folks up there, if they waited for the government, they'd all be pushing up daisies by the time the government took care of them. We're kind of even, you know, we're down here in Low Country, we're way out of the way, and we were spared when that storm come through. But I think it's, as you know, as Americans and having Americans up there, we got to do whatever we can to support them. And I give Scott a whole bunch of credit for going up there now. Just before we get back to Scott, just want to give you a heads up that if you want to make any donations of any kind, materials, clothing, even God forbid, if you decided to kick in cash, we can make sure here at the radio station, we can make sure it gets to the right place. I just put a half a truck full of stuff in Scott's truck. Cold weather gear. I put a hoodie on in the morning because it's chilly here. Well, they got a frost up there. It's in the low 30s. All right. I hear reports, and God knows how true they are, of folks dying of hypothermia. This is America. This shouldn't be happening. This isn't some third world country. These people got hammered. We're in a fortunate part of the state and a very lucky part of the country. So what we can do is we can do everything we can for them. Blankets, those winter boots that you brought down from up north when you moved down here, you Yankees, right? Those warm clothes that you haven't decided, you know, you can't get rid of. Well, now's the time that you can put them to good use. So, Scott, tell us what you saw up there.
I went straight up I-26 to Highway 19, which is about 6 miles before where the I-26 got washed out, and 19 runs east through western North Carolina. It was pretty devastating. It looks like something out of a movie. I mean, you don't really expect to see. I know we're used to hurricanes down this way, but trees down, bridges out. I mean, there was most places up in the mountains, there's one or two ways in, and for the most part, most of them were wiped out. Those people were stranded. I mean, even weeks after, like I said, I was up there a week after it happened, and it was devastating. I mean, cars flipped over, trucks, 18-wheelers. Right in Spruce Pine, where I was at, the river runs through the hollow there, and it had to come up at least 30 or 45 feet because there was actually river bottom silt on the top of roofs on some of the buildings.
Wow.
I mean, it was very devastating. It was those people took a hard hit. But I would like to tell you this, that the Appalachian people up there are amazing. I mean, those are some of the most hardworking, dedicated, proud people that you can ever come across. They, like I was telling these guys earlier, the guy that I work with at one of the churches I was helping out, they he told me that as soon as the storm was over, he said their whole county of people were out there with chainsaws, skid units, tractors, and they had one lane open from one end of their county to the other within the first 48 hours. I mean, it was amazing. I've never seen anything like it. If you ever want to be a proud American, that's where you need to come from, or that's where you need to go visit, because those people are unbelievable. And the second part of what's holding that place together right now is the churches. Doesn't matter what denomination, doesn't matter where you come from, what you believe in. I'm going to tell you right now that the churches are collecting supplies. The churches are sending work parties out. The churches are out there helping each other. It is unbelievable. It makes you proud. I mean, I don't want to sound cliche, but it makes you proud to be an American if you get up there and you see that. It's really amazing.
I grew up north, and you guys know that. And we had some neighbors that used to come up. They'd come up and be up there all summer. And that was the Raper family. Ernie was a half Cherokee Indian, and he was a steel worker. So he used to come up here and work steel, and he used to come up, you know, for 9 months, and then when it got cold, and they weren't working, he'd run back down to North Carolina, and that's where they lived. They had their house, their family house in Western North Carolina, and had to be some of the most rugged people that I ever ran into, and no nonsense, you know, none of this folks talk behind your back kind of stuff. If they got an issue with you, you knew about it, and you would just hope that it wasn't the case. Let's just see what their needs are. I mean, I know I had a couple of heavy blankets and work shoes and some ladies' clothes, which let's put things in perspective. All right. On day one, you're in good shape, and you're sitting in front of the boob tube, and you might be doing something that you enjoy. Then the storm comes through. All right. Well, now you lost everything. Now you lost everything you owned. All right. Everything. I seen them throwing baby pictures away. All right. So now you got no place to live. You got to survive. You got no job, because you're not going to have a job. All right. So you got no money, you got no food, you got nowhere to live. Now you're starting from square one. All right. These folks need clothes. They need warm clothes. I'm going over. I'm going to be meeting Scott tomorrow. He's going to take up some stuff. Stupid stuff. Hygiene stuff, hygiene products, okay? Like body wash, toothpaste, toothbrushes, socks, incredible amount of socks. I'm here with Mr. Dave. Tell me, when you were in the service, how important was socks to you?
Oh, my gosh.
All right?
Yeah, you fight over socks. The last pair of socks, you'd have a fight over them.
Right, and that's what they need up there. They need socks. They need sweatshirts. All right, they need warm pants. Skivvies. Folks need underwear. All right, there's all kinds of stuff that they need. You wake up in the morning. You wake up in the morning, 6-7 o'clock, and everything you touch for the rest of the day is stuff that they need, all right? Because they ain't got it. They ain't got it. It went downstream, all right? So if you can think about bleach, baking soda, all right?
Any kind of mold killer.
Yeah, anything that's gonna kill mold. Now, Scott, let's talk about logistics here a little bit.
Yes, sir.
A case of bleach. If I wanted to get a case of bleach up here, what's the best way to get it up there? Get it to somebody that's going up there, or can I go on Amazon and have it shipped, or what's the story?
most of the areas out there, Amazon, when I left last week, or I came home Sunday morning, Amazon wasn't delivering to most of those counties. There's just too many roads out. There's too many, I mean, like you said, houses are devastated. Some houses aren't even there anymore. I mean, and then even commercial places, they're having trouble just getting regular supplies in, gas, food, the Walmarts, Family Dollars, just they can't even get supplies in. And it sounds like, you know, after all this time, they should be, but there's so much going on that they can't. All of everything local, a bunch of our churches are doing stuff. A lot of our people here in Collin County are making runs. I just talked to a guy this morning that's made four already. So there's a lot going on just in our area, but it's all over. Somerville, Charleston, Beaufort. I know a girl in Beaufort that's collected three or four times, and they took trail loads of stuff up there. As far as bleach goes, it's almost better to do like mole killer. They make a thing called damp rid. It's kind of like the stuff that you put in your camper to keep the moisture out of it. Those are big things because when the water came and flooded everything, people, and all the people out there have basements. So what the workers are doing now, they're going in and they call it a muck out. They go in there and they tear it. They get all the mud out. They get all the water out. And then wherever the water line was, they take all the wood, sheetrock, whatever down. And then they expose everything so that you don't get mold into the houses. So it's kind of like a preserving what you got, you know, and not letting it get any worse. Because once mold gets in there and black mold, you know, it's going to ruin everything. You'd have to pretty much tear the house.
So mold spray that's in spray bottles and crap like that?
Yes, sir.
All right.
When I left, I talked to one of the distributing centers that were taking donations, and that was kind of what they were talking about, that damp rid, the mold killer, dehumidifiers. And a big thing was anything that runs off the small Coleman green propane tanks, like your lanterns, your cook stoves, your buddy, I think they call them buddy heaters, the small and big buddy heaters. Those are big right now because there's places in that county I was at, they're going to be out of power for months. I mean, you figure if a mile track of, you know, 10 or 12 power poles, 10 of them are gone now. I mean, it's not just a matter of putting up a line or putting up a new pole. They're almost having to rerun their whole electrical system up there. It's just, it's a mess. And so there's places that are still cut off that bridges haven't been put back yet. I mean, they're having to fly stuff in. That is one good thing that North Carolina National Guard has done. They've done a lot of airdrops. And it's getting everybody by right now. But it's going to take more than just that. It's going to take people getting up there and volunteering their time to do what they need to do. It's not going to be an overnight situation. We're looking at months, if not years, to get everything back to where it needs to be.
Well, you know, I'm going to make an Ollie strip today, and it's going to be socks. This is going to be socks. It's going to be some of the mold killer. If I don't see mold killer, I'll tell you what I'll do. Get a case of bleach and spray bottles. You know, give you a case of bleach and some spray bottles and go that way. I mean, I got a list from somebody else, and this is kind of what I'm going to say is kind of sketchy, and I'm only telling you the list that they sent me. All right, I would say do this, but this is the list that I got. All right. Fluid warmers, blanket warmers. Well, if you don't have electric, it's not going to help. One of the things they put in the list that they sent to me that I can't condone, but you should know that people are looking for it, is nebulizers, albuterol, and budesonide. I don't know what that even is, but They're hurting for meds up there too, all right. So I know for myself, and I can't say that you should send people prescription drugs because I'm not a doctor, and neither are you in most cases. But I keep amoxicillin around in my house for emergency purposes. I'm sure a lot of those people could use that kind of stuff as well. How about first aid supplies?
Yes, that's what I was getting ready to talk about. One of the big things is keeping, especially the volunteer workers and the people up there, is keeping cuts clean. You know, hydrogen peroxide, alcohol wipes, bandages, triple antibiotic first aid cream. Those are real cheap and they're simple. Those are very important because, like I said, a lot of the medical facilities are down. A lot of the EMS services aren't up to full speed. So keeping everybody safe and clean and keeping cuts taken care of is a big, big part of
what's going on. Well, and it doesn't have to be $6 and $7 for 8/10 of an ounce tube of bacitracin. There's good generic tribiotic ointments out there that, like a buck a tube.
Oh, yeah. You know? You can buy them from the dollar store for so, about a dollar.
You know, so, I mean, that's important because disease is going to be their next issue up there. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, but unfortunately, the cold weather's coming in, and a lot of this disease will breed in the colder climates. But then you have hypothermia and cold to deal with. But if this had happened, and then we were into 80-90 degree days for the next 3 months, we'd really be having a lot of disease breeding. What else now? Folks are getting food, and I don't think we need you hauling food, do you?
No, most of the shelters that I went to while I was up there, and the one that was at the place that I was staying, we had an overabundance of water, which is great, and we had an overabundance of food, snacks, you name it. Like I said, the main thing now, like you talked about, is the cold weather coming in, and there's no electricity. I mean, you got to keep people warm, whether it be a buddy heater or a heavy jacket or thermal socks. It's got to be, those are what we're really looking for now to keep everybody warm, safe, and so they don't get hypothermia. And like I said, just keeping people safe and not getting infected. I mean, that's the main project right now. To me, I'm going up to, when we go up Saturday, we're taking all of our supplies to one place in Nebo, North Carolina. And then we're taking the needed supplies that Bakersfield needs. And when I get to Bakersfield, we're going to get with their local volunteer fire department, EMS. Just when you have feet on the ground and you can actually talk to the people instead of hearsay or, you know, a text message or whatever, then you can really get to the meat of what they need. And I'm going to try to hit a couple more small towns right there in that area. And when I come back, I'm probably going to do it again.
Not that there's anything we can do for them, but how are the emergency vehicles up there? They got them running?
Yes. There were some firehouses damaged, not many. Because they do, they're planning part of, you know, years past. They try to put the emergency stations and fire stations, EMS, and things like that above what the normal flood levels will be. So a lot of times they're up on a hill or, you know, half of a mountain. But there was some effect and there was some damage. And like I said, when I get on the other, I was in it got a hit hard area. But at the same time, they fared off a little bit better afterwards than some of the other small towns. So once I get feet on the ground in some of those small towns, I'll be able to kind of see it for myself. And then I know some fire stations, they can pull the trucks out, but they can't go anywhere. Because like I said, when the river runs in their area, every road that went up into a neighborhood subdivision or, you know, up the mountain was taken out. So they can't respond to anything unless it's on four-wheeler or something like that. So it's been kind of rough.
Well, I don't know what else to say. We can send as much stuff out there, and the folks that are hauling shit up there are just as essential as Dave, hauling the stuff up there is just as essential as the folks that are sending, you know, actually supplying the stuff. Do you wanna give out any information? You know, I mean, we can use the radio station as a hub to stage supplies to get them to Scott and other folks that are running up, but do you have any information or a point of contact that you want to provide?
Yes. I've posted everything on my Facebook page. It's just Scott Catterton, C-A-T-T-E-R-T-O-N. I've been collecting all the supplies at my house, which I don't mind giving you the address. It's 55 Chambly Road, and my cell is 843-908-4696. You can text me, call me, any way you want to help. On my Facebook page has the list of supplies that are needed that we're going to collect to take with us on Saturday. We're leaving first thing Saturday morning. I've already had some people commit to go with me, which is good. They're either current or retired firefighters, EMTs. So we're hoping not only can we take the supplies, but we can stay a couple of days and hopefully do some good to some of those small towns, whether it's cleanup or helping with emergency calls or whatever needs to be done that can get them back on their feet.
All righty. Mr. Dave, you have anything to add?
No, we are running an ad and asking for donations to be brought here.
All right.
To the radio station.
All right. Now, so you got that. Dave offered to use the radio station as a collection hub. If you want to bring stuff to the radio station, it's on Pumpkin Girl Lane. You'll see the red brick Patriots Club brick edifice out there on the road. When you're coming down 61, going towards Somerville, if you're coming from the Waltsboro area, you'll see Maple Cane Church, and then about a half a mile north of Maple Cane Church, Red Brick Patriot Club, and Dave will be here from time to time. If you're coming the other direction, you're coming out of Somerville, and you're on 61, and you're going north, about a mile and a quarter past B-City Zoo, that's easy to find, and B-City Zoo will be on the right, and about a mile and a quarter farther south will be Red Brick Patriot Club. One thing Dave always says is, if you get lost, look for the antenna.
There you go.
You know, you can't miss the antenna. The antenna side of the building is where the radio station is, and that's where you'll most likely find some folks to take your donations. Scott, I thank you for what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
We do what we can do. Listen, I hate to say it. I know what I want to say, but I ain't going to say it. I do what I can do sitting on my butt here.
Yes, sir.
But that's not what I was going to say, Dave. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Sitting on my butt here, we do what we can do, and we're collecting donations, and we just got to get them up there. And have they gotten everybody back out of the mountains, you think, pretty much?
No. There's still some places that are cut off. Like I said, they're doing airdrops on certain areas. They just can't get to them. I mean, it's that bad. Mm-hmm. But I would like to say, the first trip I made, I carried a whole truckload of stuff, and it was very short notice. I'm very proud of everybody from Collin County, not just that helped me in a short period of time carry supplies up there, but all the churches, all the people, everybody that's donating time, money, effort into sending stuff up there. I think this is something, even though it's a devastating tragedy, this is something that our country needed to reunite us a little more. It kind of puts everything back in perspective about being an American and about helping people.
That's a damn cost to pay, though, Scott.
Yes, sir, it is.
I got to tell you, by numbers, this is another 9/11.
Yes, I was getting ready to say that. It's comparable to it, but it's also comparable to the outcome afterwards. I mean, the outpour of people just doing the right thing, putting petty issues aside and doing what's right, no matter who you are, where you came from, or what you believe in. And I mean, I think it's a perfect time for I mean, there's never a perfect time for a disaster, but I think it's a perfect time for America to come together and do what they got to do.
Yeah, well, being that people are as divided as they are, yeah, no, this works real well. Oh, my. All right. Well,
thank you, everybody from Collin County that donated. Y'all, it's been unbelievable. It's been great, and I really appreciate it.
Scott, if you got no other input, and Mr. Dave said all you need to. All right. This is Frank on Target, and this is a special feature that we're doing, talking to Scott Catterson. Just come back from Western North Carolina with this devastation of this hurricane Helene that came through. And like I said, one last time, we can be a collection point here at the radio station. You got something you want to donate? Donate it. We'll get it to Scott. We'll get it to somebody to get it up there. And this is Frank on Target, and you're listening to WVFF 97.7 LPFM, broadcasting from Cottageville, South Carolina. Red Brick Patriot Radio. I'm out of here.
We here at WVFF thank you for tuning in to Frank on Target, your source for straight talk on global politics and outdoor escapades and controversy. Until next time, stay on target with Frank. You're listening to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM.